Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 275. Ignore the red text at the top there. It actually is 275. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
Yay!
We almost introed.
Yay, what? Yes.
No, that was introed. That was the intro. We did catch Nathan off guard a little bit.
Well, just because I don't see that we're transmitting. So, oh yeah, Crippled System is up. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
There's just a delay.
Yeah, it's definitely a delay.
Your mom's a delay. Snap. Oh, there's my alert. Hey, yo, it is episode 275.
Hey, my phone alerted.
Hooray.
There's a thunderstorm in our area coming soon, and I think I closed my window.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Andy.
Yep, I might have to run upstairs to close my window. So,
those are the scythes going out at the bottom sides of the guy on your shirt. I thought he just had, like, spiky arms like a Tyranid, and then the feet were very
weird,
dumb. Like little, like, bird feet or something. I just got that they're scythes. Wait, so that thing in the middle,
that's
not
bomb.
Like its head?
No, it's
a
bomb.
It's a bomb going down.
I thought that was like somebody's head, and then they were just wearing like a Cenobite dress kind of thing with spiky arms.
It's just two sizes and a grenade.
I mean, that grenade with the thing on top just looked like a person wearing a skirt. Yeah.
Someone set us up the bomb.
Like with a robe. Like a Mortinebra kind of thing.
Or a Cephalix type of thing.
Yeah.
Looks like an overlord. Potentially.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought it was at first.
Yeah.
So I was like wondering what this has to do with Crucible Guard. But, you know.
Now we get it.
Speaking of Crucible Guard, did you guys see the faction breakdown for the Sioux?
Nope. Tell me more.
It doesn't
look good for Signar and Krix.
I mean, I heard about that, how there were two Signar players who got a combined total of 0 wins.
I'd believe it.
Yeah, there was like 17 or something like that of just Circle. I caught the numbers a little bit. People are posting them because people.
Yeah.
I mean, the faction breakdown is far less interesting to me than the breed breakdown for the dogs.
I didn't pay attention to the Sioux Dog Festival.
All I saw on my Facebook pictures was people cuddling dogs at the South Ontario Open. Oh. There were like, from what I could see, at least 500 dogs. It was just nothing but a swarm of puppers.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
I could bring Kaya and Georgie to the ATC, and one of them might eat somebody, the other one won't.
I know, but like Kai and I might have to finally like settle our differences.
If you meet on neutral ground, she'll probably be way better.
Are we sure about this?
She'll definitely be better. She's way better on neutral ground. Like, I've never seen her bark at a person and like when we take them to the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
But at home, she's a little borky.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like the other day that she overheard me on the podcast?
Might have been.
Like that? Yeah. I think Raylene texted you about that.
It's possible.
Yeah, but the difference is she's like, oh, it's that person who gives me food.
Not all the time.
Have you ever brought her Popeye's biscuits?
No.
Maybe that's the problem, Dan.
Fuck her. I'm not sharing a Popeye's biscuit with her.
Wow. See? That's the kind of attitude that gets you barked at.
Yeah. Would you share a Popeye's biscuit with her?
I do all the time.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, you know, she doesn't hate me.
Nobody's on the channel.
Well, you know, it's the week before Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, well, no, we'll discuss that later.
We'll finish that. So announcement-wise, I do think it's great. After years of Canadians invading U.S. events and getting the first prize, they're getting some good karmic justice. Because the Sioux was won by an Englishman.
Yeah, take that, Canada. To be fair, the Canadians are basically just English anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they still like the Queen.
They put the Queen on their money. They're English.
Yeah. Isn't Mick Waters from Quebec?
Well, I mean, that's a different
that's
country,
French
too.
English.
Yeah, yeah. That's a different country. You don't go down that alley.
Yes. Oh, I'll go down that alley. Fuck them.
Yeah. Quebecois.
No.
Everything that's bad about Canadians with everything that's bad about the French.
Because there isn't that bad anything bad about the Canadians, though. What's wrong with the Canadians?
Oh, my lord.
I mean, they're apologetic.
Yeah.
So sorry. Ooh.
Boot. What's the name of the former mayor of Toronto?
Ford. Rob Ford.
Yeah.
Then there's Doug Ford, who's also like a thing now. Like,
yeah, but I think the difference is he under, I think the difference is he understands how much cocaine to take.
Yeah, I mean, basically...
He still does it.
What they should really do is they should put him into movies, because then we need Chris Farley back.
Right.
I mean, he's like the perfect version of Chris Farley, because he's alive.
Except he's evil.
Ah, that's fine. If Chris Farley was in politics, that's what we would have.
Also, if you trick yourself into thinking that he's just a Chris Farley character, you'll be less horrified.
It's true. Very true.
You're like, oh, look, I'm watching a movie on the TV. This isn't news.
It'd be like if a reality star became president.
Oh, actually, I do have to amend my previous statement. There is one thing not wrong with Quebec. They do own most of the world's maple syrup.
Well, then the fact that they hoard that maple syrup, how dare they?
I mean, they have a Fort Knox type scenario in place for maple syrup.
So basically, it's like the De Beers cartel, but with maple syrup instead of diamonds.
Yeah, well, they also don't gouge.
Okay. I don't know, man. Have you seen the price of maple syrup?
Yeah, actual maple syrup is...
Sure, that's because...
Well, they do force other companies to have more expensive ones. Like any kind of local maple syrup is like $15 a fucking bottle.
Sure, because it takes like 200 gallons of sap to make 1 ounce of maple syrup.
That is true.
And it is delicious.
It is.
That's why you just use Mrs. Butterworth. It tastes exactly the same.
Mrs. Mothersworth?
Mrs. Butterworth.
You just get the generic off-brand version of Mrs. Buttersworth.
Mrs. Mothersworth. Mark Mothersbaugh's Mrs. Mothersworth's brand imitation maple syrup.
Yeah.
I'm angry at you for every word in that last sentence.
Well, I mentioned Mark Mothersbaugh. He's good.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Devo.
Devo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, he
all right. I am angry with most of the words in that last sentence.
He wrote just about every single theme music that you
sure.
know.
Like I said, I'm okay with those words.
Soundtrack to Thor Ragnarok was all Mothersbaugh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Rugrats theme music is Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah, like I said,
he guest starred in an episode of the Aquabats Super Show as Jimmy the Robot's father. Obviously, you'll enjoy that. You'll recognize him from that, of course.
What?
It was an episode of the Aquabats Super Show where they go back to Jimmy the Robot's family farm, and his dad was played by Mark Mothersbaugh, and then there's like a graboid monster that attacks them, and they have to defeat it with rock and roll as they oftentimes defeat their problems.
Was this the plot of Tremors 6?
Yeah, basically. Tremors 6 was an Aquabats Super Show crossover episode.
I miss Tremors.
I miss the Aquabats Super Show.
I never saw it.
How dare you, sir? They did just have a Kickstarter to bring it back, though, so that's nice.
Did it make it?
Yeah, well, yeah. It was one of those sliding things where, like, the more they got, the more episodes they do, like MST3K did.
Oh,
I think they got to like 6 episodes and an album. There was funny. There was a limit one backer prize that was like for $150,000. They would literally buy an island and name it like Aquabats Island, and they would make you mayor of that island. Like, if I was a millionaire, I would have done that. Like, how could you not do that?
I would have to be a multimillionaire to do that.
Sure. On the other hand, you have an island. Like, there's still an island.
Yeah, but was there a size limitation? So I'm
not just like something the size of this table in the middle of
exactly.
The Hudson River.
I just pulled out. Oh, ow! That really hurt.
Excuses, I sneezed.
That was a Southern Ontario Open.
Yeah, there were dogs and Mothersbaugh and maple syrup and something. I don't know. I'm high as a kite.
I saw that Travis actually got his passport. Did he actually go?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly why he couldn't make it, but he ended up not being able to make it.
But on Facebook right now, he's discussing having a crush hour event on June 1st. So if that goes through, I hope people will attend.
What day?
June 1st, he was... It's not a thing. He was just feeling out on the Facebooks. Travis was asking about having a crush hour event June 1st. I also have a crush hour kit, so whenever he does it, maybe a couple weeks later, I'll do a crush hour event. So we'll have a couple Monpok events in the Madison-Milwaukee area in June.
I'm not even actively playing Monsterpocalypse, and I'm getting people to play it.
That's good.
So...
And I would, like... My event would either will probably just be like $5 or something. Like, I was thinking about just doing it for free, but prize support's fun, so maybe just like $5. And like, I have enough models. Like, people can just show up, and I'll loan them armies.
Yeah, I mean, it also $5 helps out the store too.
Correct, correct.
I don't know if Peg picked up the crush hour for you or
they did, but I paid for it already myself,
Sure.
they're reimbursed, and I was like tempted to just like run it out of pocket because it's only like a $20 kit. It's not an expensive kit, but
no.
Prize support's fun, gift cards are fun, etc. Mm-hmm. So but that's still a thing.
Yeah, I just ran a Rat Catcher's release event for Guild Ball over at Pegasus on Saturday.
Speaking of Guild Ball, I believe there was another announcement that you gentlemen were excited to discuss today.
Wouldn't say we're really excited to discuss.
Why don't you tell me about the Guild Ball Championship event?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there was an issue where basically they were supposed to sync up the event and run tickets out the same day.
All right, so let us rewind for our viewers who may not have heard this story.
Yes.
All right, so Guild Ball World Championship has a bunch of Cedar events. So there's U.S. East Nationals and U.S. West Nationals and English Nationals and German and French, blah, 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 blah.
Kind of like an Iron Gauntlet of
absolutely, of a whole bunch of Cedar events.
Yep, which one of the other things is, I believe, the prize for each of these national or regional-ish champions is not only your entry into SteamCon UK, but also money towards traveling to that. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Exciting.
And I believe potentially a cool trophy. I think it's... but anyway, yeah.
These sound neat. I would happily buy a ticket to one of these events.
So, US West was, I believe, at Las Vegas Open.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's done and over with.
Cool.
US East was originally going to be at SteamCon US.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
SteamCon US got canceled because they were in a awful venue and they needed to get some shit figured out. See Andy's rant episode from last year.
Yeah, their venue for... I mean, their venue is actually really cool, and it was probably really well done, or it was cheap enough for them, but everybody who attended got footed the bill for
it. Got screwed.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they got a venue. They were at the whatever country Hall of Fame thing down in Tennessee. This is a really, really big hotel. If it was for metal, I would have loved the place, but it was country, and I can't stand country. So
strike like, one.
Yeah.
Country's just acoustic metal.
No, that's not true at all. No, there's only the only country I even remotely like is old school country. You know, you got
sure.
Jerry Reed and some Johnny
Everybody
Cash.
Likes Johnny Cash. Everybody likes Willie Nelson. Come on the road again.
Not
a catchy thing.
Not so much
on.
Willie, but I do like Kenny Rogers.
Making the road again.
Sure, back when it was like
Kenny Rogers lyrics.
I love is making
you ever read any Kenny friends. Rogers lyrics? They're fucked up.
Yeah, sure.
They're really messed up. But the old school stuff. But
yeah, when it was actual music and not a very polished industry machine that uses more auto-tunes than most top 40 hits.
But anyway,
the venue was awesome, but all the expenses for the venue was passed on to the attendees.
Sure.
So like my stay there, I mean, we had to pack up like 5 or 6 to a room just to make it affordable.
Sure.
And that was just, it was not... Sure. Not good in that regards. Yeah.
So anyway, so SteamCon US 2019 has been canceled.
Same thing with SteamCon UK 2019.
Correct.
So
they are figuring some shit up and out. And as long as that means they're spending more money and time trying to figure out how to produce resin models, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Anyways, they were going to, and so they needed to figure out what they're going to do about US East. So the announcement came out Wednesday. The official announcement came out Wednesday that SteamCon US and UK were canceled.
Sure.
We've known about that for at least like a month through unofficial channels, but it was officially announced on Wednesday. On Friday, they announced that US East will, national or the Eastern US Nationals will then be held at an event in Chicago called Second Wind in October.
Sure. Well, good. That's fine. I'm still interested in playing in this championship event because I want to be a Guild Ball champion, so I'll just go buy tickets to that event instead.
There's one problem. So I think it was Jamie from Steamforged and Vince, who is the runner of Second Wind, hadn't agreed on date and they were going to announce things. That date came. Vince posted his announcement that it is time to sign up for Second Wind.
Yeah.
No word from Steamforged. And here we are 3 weeks later.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was announced. Second Wind is full.
Second Wind is full and sold out. Yep. At 64 players.
Yep.
So
before Steamforged got around to telling people that
this is the Nationals.
Right.
Yep.
So the people who signed up for it just signed up for this event because it's a cool local event. Why not go to it? And now, surprise, you're playing in the Nationals Championships. And the people who would have went because it was the Championships didn't have a chance to sign up because now it's sold out.
Meanwhile, Vince is shitting his pants because now his event is gigantic and it's sold out in 6 hours.
Yeah, Second Wind is actually a really awesome Guild Ball event down in Chicago. First year, I unfortunately could only go for a day, but It was huge. It was at this giant brewery. So
the good news is Vince is working on getting more room. He's actually supposed to have an announcement tomorrow, as of time of recording, about potentially more room, and there is a wait list. So
sure. But the boil down is that Steamforged canceled their championship event and then announced that an event that already was sold out was going to be their new championship event.
Yeah.
The part I can't figure out is, so they hadn't agreed on date to announce both sides of this. Vince stuck to the plan. Jamie didn't notice, or whoever at Steamforged was responsible for posting their half of it, didn't notice that Vince posted on schedule and just sat on it for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... Yeah,
that's the part I can't figure out.
They did have a lot of cool, exciting new things to do, too. Is they just had a $5 million
investment
into the company. So to produce 8 new ventures.
Sure.
In the next 2 years. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess on the one hand, Guild Ball is one of those games that now that the initial launch is over, I don't actually know how it'll be profitable. So attached to a company that keeps on printing out board games is probably a good thing for it.
Yeah. Yeah,
because Guild Ball, just by its very nature, is such a small
purchase.
It's like Blood Bowl.
I was about to say, like Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl, you spend your X dollars once. And you're done.
Yeah.
Once. Maybe, if you're interested in a second team, cool. But it's not like 40K or something like that where they're just like, keep giving.
Well, not only that, I mean, an impactful release for a guild is one model. So you're out $20.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the nice thing though too is if you do want to expand into another team for Guild Ball, it isn't like I'm gonna go from playing my Gene Stealers to playing right. the Iron Wolves or whatever they are.
And this isn't a bad thing about Guild Ball as a game. It's just a bad thing about Guild Ball as a revenue source for a company.
Correct. Yes. I would say it's probably a good thing for a game. It's just bad for a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Famously, that's the reason, or I guess maybe it's the unofficial reason, but we all know it's the reason. But famously, that's the reason why GW doesn't support shit like like Blood Bowl.
Correct.
Blood Bowl, GW doesn't care about. Screw you. They don't even release hit models for half the star players because it's just not worth their time and effort.
Correct.
Space Hulk, whatever. We don't care.
And that's why they moved all those things to like one and done games is because they can more accurately represent the profit model.
Yeah, because it just is not profitable for them. And so, I mean, who knows? Who knows where the hell Steamforged is going to go from here? But yowzers.
They tried.
Again, not bad-mouthing Guild Ball as a game, but yeah. Good golly, Andy, was your window closed? Are you good?
Yeah,
is your bedroom flooded?
Earlier. I'm an idiot.
But you are a dry idiot.
Yeah.
Yes. And better a safe than sorry dry idiot, or better than a safe dry idiot than a sorry wet idiot.
Considering everything that's in front of that window is like my $2,000 computer
sure.
and all of my old Nintendo shit is right there.
Wah, 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 wah. See, now I'm annoyed to find out that you're going to play Borderlands 3 on the PlayStation 4 because I was going to play it on PlayStation 4 and I had a coworker who I was going to play it with on PS4. But then Jim and Keith and Marshall and Brian and Chris, like all these other people were going to get it all on the PC. And a couple of them are claiming they're going to stick to their no Epic Store guns. Like Jim said, he'll wait the 6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But still, like then I was like, fine. If all of them are going to be on PC, maybe I'll just, swallow the bile and play a first-person shooter with keyboard and mouse, which is the worst way to play a first-person shooter, and I'll go ahead and get it on PC instead. But in theory now, that means I won't play with you. On the other hand, you never play Borderlands 1 or 1.5 with me on PS4, even though we've both been playing through those for the last month. So, maybe screw you.
It's hard to – I don't know when – we'd have to plan out in advance of like we're gonna start playing here. Then I just don't like jumping into other people's games.
When you log in, you look at your friends list and see what their activity is. Like I've looked for you to see your activity, and then you send that person an invite.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's all right. You hate me.
Usually, on like a second playthrough, I'm fine playing. On a first playthrough, I'm kind of a smell the roses and take things at my own pace. The second playthrough, I think I would be fine with playing with somebody else, but I just like when you're talking or rushing through something.
Yeah.
It's, I like to absorb some of the voice acting and that. And, Leslie likes to always ask questions during. It's like, I'll be shooting, fighting, killing everything, and the second anybody starts talking, she'll ask a question. He's like,
but you're not doing anything.
Yeah, she's like, what's Jack doing? How'd you get up to Helios? Yeah. And like, I got up here for you to teleporter. He's like, 5 minutes later, how'd you get up to Helios? And it's always when somebody is trying to tell me some kind of story. But yeah. I am finding that my 1.5 playthrough is much better now that I'm off of Elpis, the moon. I did not like the moon at all. It was just, it felt like more of a slog. And now I'm on the station, it seems like it's more of a...
A lot of the quest points are very far apart in Elpis, it seems like, versus Borderlands 1 and 2. Actually, one, man, before you unlock fast travel, there was a lot of hiking back and forth.
Oh, for and one, yes.
Pre-sequel felt a lot like going back to that. Because two, you have fast travel right away.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good fast travel points, but yeah.
Yeah, one. Well, this one feels like it was more of a slog of getting to the other places. Like, even though the map kind of looks bigger, it is significantly smaller. But I felt it was harder to navigate.
Sure.
For 1.5, but now I'm on the Helios. I like what's her name and her having me go get brains and wings for her rockets that sure. She's sending off. So she's just like a mad scientist.
I figured.
And she asked me to go get some rack wings, which are just kind of, oh no, not so like rack
you,
wings.
So you personally?
Yeah, me personally, the Vault Hunter.
Like you out of the game no. have been asked to get some wings.
No. Yeah.
But had me go deal with stalkers. Just and thank God there was no rabid stalkers on the moon or on the station. But I had to get wings from them. And I get brains from these evil slug things that are annoying as fuck in that game. And then put them inside a rocket. And then she would launch them and see what they do. One, it was too dumb. It couldn't fly very well. And so that was entertaining. And then I had to go get brains from humans. And the human just flew that rocket. His brain just flew it right into the building or into the station. And then I had to take the two brains of the stupid slug thing and the human, blend them together.
That's just right. It's like Goldilocks, it's just, basically. Yep. But with vivisection and horror.
Which,
don't you
we
remember
shot?
The version of Goldilocks where she creates weapons of mass destruction through vivisection?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the World of Darkness campaign.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. But yeah, so the issue is I'm going to be spending, you know, probably 400 hours of my life playing Borderlands 3, and so I need to figure out which system to play it on now.
Just play it on both.
Yeah, that's exactly the way to do a game with lots of end game content.
it might actually have carryover though. So let's say if we end up playing it a ton of times on the PS4, it might actually be able to carry over to the PC.
I highly doubt that. But if it does, I will just spend the money to have it on both.
Yeah.
But I doubt that it's that way. But if it is linked to where I can have the same characters and everything on both systems, that solves all my problems.
Yeah.
Because then I can log on my PS4, notice that Andy won't play with me, and then I'll go on the PC and play with Brian and Jim and Keith. It'll work out great.
I mean, at least the way that Borderlands 4 or Borderlands 3 is written is we could actually play with Brian and Jim and them because they will be level 40 and we will be level 14.
Right, and that's fine, but not if we're on the wrong systems.
Correct.
They said they were looking at cross-platform play, but the issue is my guess is
Sony will be the holdup
because Sony has traditionally been the holdup. Now, that said, Sony has been relaxing its stance on that because they realized that their reason for that has been wrong. Yeah. Sony was hopeful that by not participating in cross-platform play, people would go, man, I guess I have to get it on PlayStation, otherwise I can't play with my PlayStation friends. Instead, everybody on PC and Xbox and Switch just went, well, guess fuck my PlayStation friends, and got their stuff on those systems instead, and all played with each other.
Also, it's not to say this. Man, I'm having a Dave moment here. No, that's,
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, Dave's not here is because he's got somebody sick in his house, so he can't leave.
Yeah. Happens when you are a parent.
Yes. Last generation, Microsoft was the same way. So it's not to say that it's just Sony sure. being the one that's dragging their foot. Uh-huh. They are currently dragging their foot on crossplay, but Microsoft was the same way as when Xbox 360 was the king of the tower. Yep.
Sure. They also replaced their CEO after that, and things have gotten better. Yeah.
I mean,
well, better, better Sony, for gamers.
Well, just
less,
in,
less for the actual business. Well, of the Xbox.
True, but I mean, in general, like their new CEO's philosophy is, I would rather have 80% of your money than 0% of your money.
Yeah,
right.
So true. I will sell you partial deals.
And you would think that Sony would have learned from Xbox suffering from that instead of then trying it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work out that way. When everybody can play Rocket League or Fortnite with each other except on your system, then they just don't buy it on your system.
Speaking of Rocket League, pretty soon you're not going to be able to buy it on Steam.
Probably.
More likely.
It's a separate thing.
Yeah. Although there also are several games that have now come out and said that they have explicitly turned down Epic Store exclusivity because of the backlash.
Sure, but man, it's when somebody just throw you a comical, like a literal cartoon burlap sack with a dollar sign on it, it's hard to say no to that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, companies are really trying to back down from even mentioning microtransactions as well. I mean, on the subject of Borderlands 3,
sure, but that
Pitchford is...
Yeah, I mean,
Pitchford.
That may be less backlash and more their lawyers are reminding them that there's some issues in Europe with them right now, so...
Well, I think it's a Borderlands...
That's with loot boxes, not with microtransactions. And, like, that was the big deal with Pitchford.
Yep.
He just misspoke, and instead of just saying, oops, I misspoke, here's a clarification, he threw a babby temper tantrum.
Double down on
sure.
it.
Sure. There's concepts that are bad, and there's Pitchford. And those are two separate things.
Not all the time.
I mean,
Pitchford is a concept that is bad.
They're additive, but they are two separate concepts.
Like
microtransactions are bad. He is a shitlord.
Like, well, microtransactions, that's a thing, but I mean, DLC is another thing.
Right.
And I think what he meant to say is we're not going to have the microtransaction shit. We're just going to still have our normal DLC. Like, you pay for a character, you pay for maybe some skins.
If I can pay you a dollar for a skin, that's a microtransaction. It's a transaction that is micro in size. It's a microtransaction.
Okay.
What he meant to say is no loot boxes, no in-game fake currency that never equates one-to-one with dollars, so it's impossible to spend all of it, and thus you're always encouraged to buy more of it, to buy more things, right? And that vicious cycle where...
So no mobile-style microtransactions.
Correct. No pay-to-win, no loot boxes, no in-game fake currency that fucks with your ability to buy stuff. You can give them a dollar, and you'll get something that's worth a dollar to you, but that is a microtransaction. But instead of saying, yeah, okay, but you guys know what I meant, he's like, yeah, mommy, and just shit his pants and started throwing sausages at the wall, and it's like, calm down.
I don't think I've ever heard of that term before. Did that just spit out of your mouth now? Is that, or is it something you've been using for a while? Throwing sausages at the wall.
Like, I think I meant to say spaghetti. Because that's a far more reasonable temper tantrum thing.
Yeah, because you throw spaghetti at the wall to see if it's done. If it sticks to the wall, it's done.
I just meant like an angry baby just throwing their food. But I don't know why I went with sausages.
I thought sausage was a euphemism for poop.
Yeah, sure, sure. Or penises, whatever.
Well, I mean, you said he shit his pants and then threw a sausage at the wall.
Yeah.
So like, I thought about that. I'm like, this does work.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I meant by it. He had very dry, solid poops. They're called sausages in nomenclature.
I mean, they could be wet. They could be a raw sausage.
Yeah, there you go.
raw
sausage, that's my nickname in college.
No.
Call me raw sausage.
No.
Throw me at the wall, baby. All
right,
see what sticks.
Sausages.
No, they did not call me micro sausage. That's currently.
Aw. That's why you're married.
Yeah. Surprise.
I just realized I put the that way too far away. I can't read it either.
Oh, the text? Yeah. No. Matt Nicolay and Nick explained how Borderlands 3 level scaling works, which had nothing to do with the topic of which system to play it on, but that's okay. Thanks for the input, buddy. And then Arctic Circle has like a paragraph that I can't read, but it's probably dumb.
It's some recommendation for you specifically.
It is a recommendation for a podcast called Behind the Bastards, where they explain the history behind shitty people or corporations in an amusing but educational way.
We'll be on in several episodes.
Edutainment.
I'm not sure if I like the storyline of Borderlands 1.5 right now, too. It feels weird that Jack is working with Roland. It was very
weird. I walked in and Jack said something and your character goes, okay.
Well,
because like all of Borderlands 2 is Jack says something, you go, I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah. The difference is...
By the end of it, Jack's definitely...
he's slowly turning into, at least in the storyline, it seems like he's slowly turning into evil Jack. No, but my character is Jackson Forcer.
Yeah.
So he loves everything Jack does. Like when Jack takes you go and rescue like four scientists and then put them in an airlock and then Jack releases them into space. Wilhelm thinks it's awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you're talking about him slowly turning into Evil Jack, I'm like, have you reached the point where he just vents for people? Like, he's like, hey, stand in there for reasons, and then he just murders them all.
Well, he's like,
wait, isn't Wilhelm the robot?
Yeah. He is. Yeah. The neat thing is, as you level up with him, he gets more and more robotic with his voiceover and stuff like that because he's slowly turning into a full robot.
More cybernetic.
With cybernetic enhancements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, Jack finds out that there's another traitor on the station. This is spoilers from
and the easiest way to kill the traitor is just to kill everyone.
Yep.
I mean, he is not wrong.
Well,
it is honestly, the easiest way to kill the traitor.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Jack is almost never wrong. His methods are sometimes wrong.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, that's what heroes do. They make the hard decisions.
Correct. I mean, you know, Thanos is right. Overpopulation is a concern.
Correct.
But he is wrong that taking us to the 1960s will fix it. Also, something that because his population snap only reduces us to the 1960s population because population growth is exponential.
Correct.
Idiot.
Sure. He buys 35 years.
Second of all, the thing that somebody pointed out after Endgame, but it isn't an Endgame specific thing. It's just talking about the snap. He reduces the population of all life. So if his issue is overpopulation means there's not enough resources, you just killed half of the corn and fish and apples and all of those because that's life, you fucktard.
I wonder if he meant sentient life.
Well,
define sentient.
Well, that's true too. I guess plants, some people say that plants feel too.
Sure, yeah. Like, did he kill half the cows?
I think so because, well, I mean, not
that's half the fish.
We did talk about spoilers before, but the embargo is coming off.
And that's an Infinity War still. Yeah. We're talking snap.
But, we've pretty much most people know that, at least in Endgame, the snap is reversed, and there's birds flying around.
Yeah.
Of course, those birds are pretty much immediately annihilated by something else that happens immediately after that.
But,
hey, you guys, I'm back.
There's a lot of species that are in a level of population that reducing half of them just damns that species.
Yeah,
half the
Thanos
panda's gone.
He pretty much destroyed all of the freaking rhinos.
He killed yeah
all the black rhinos.
It's rhinos
like
done,
we had like five
done
left on the earth. Does he saying round up or round down?
Well, either way, I mean the snap will basically
half a rhino was left. Right. Just like crawling out his front half.
I mean, but that's the thing is the snap will instantly kill basically everything that's considered endangered.
Yep,
because it removes their ability to meaningfully sustain.
Yep,
yeah,
and any species that survives upon any carnivorous species, it does not help with the overpopulation because their resources were also halved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's assuming it does not affect plant life, which is weird because I guarantee. Well, Groot, are you saying Groot's people weren't affected because they're plants?
But Groot, I feel, is different than an actual plant, though.
I mean, he's just a plant that's smart. Like, what?
Sure, but by that,
how smart do you have to be? Did dogs get halved because they're relatively smart?
What about dumb people?
Yeah. What about a person that says, there are people who are dumber than octopi? Mm-hmm. You know? So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is intelligence?
Yeah.
Did pigs survive?
I think crows? this is dolphins? Definitely something that dolphins? We have to talk to Stan Lee. Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I think it was Jim Starlin is the one who came up with Thanos.
Yeah, but that's not the Thanos from the comics did not do the bifurcation. For people who are not aware, the Thanos from the comics has the nerdiest goddamn reason for the Infinity Gauntlet, which is that he's been friend-zoned and he thinks it'll make her like him.
By death.
Yes. Yeah. He was friend-zoned by the literal incarnation of death, who's just a hot goth chick, and he's like, ooh, notice me, senpai. If I kill enough people, she'll want me. He's friend-zoned, and he's just this fedora-wearing purple idiot thinks that he'll get the girl if he kills enough people.
Oh, sorry, Nathan.
He is carrying that printer that's called the Infinity Gauntlet all the way over to her dorm room to try to impress her.
I'm sorry, Nathan.
I don't like your generalization, but it's so accurate.
It is. Like, they try to make this badass thing, but it's just a friend-zoned incel.
I remember them saying that he the creator of Thanos was pleased with how sure. how they took him, and I understand why the they didn't actually have
sure. I mean, that shit works in a comic book. It does not work in a 2010 movie.
Yeah.
It actually did work pretty well. Ego actually worked.
Sure.
Because he's a celestial. He's basically sure. one of the
that is one villain like in one movie. That is not a 15
he
movie.
He wasn't
arc.
A villain. He wasn't a villain. He just wanted to populate the entire universe as himself.
When you want to kill literally everything that isn't you,
you're a villain.
That's kind no, of
from his perspective.
Sure.
So like Ego is taking the Hitler's perspective.
And again,
yeah, I know.
Last I checked, yeah, I know. Hitler I know. Was a villain.
I don't know.
You're
the internet and our president says differently.
Well, that's my spooky ghost sound effect. I do also like the yeah. added wrinkle that even in the comics, it wouldn't have worked for Thanos because. In some of the issues they talk about, Lady Death is one of the reasons she doesn't like Thanos is because he keeps making all this extra work for her. Like, she doesn't like, ooh, look at all this death. Isn't that neat? That's just like giving a tax attorney more paperwork to pour through.
But
it's like, son of a bitch.
No, actually, well, the thing is, though, the snap actually blinks people out of existence. They didn't just die. They just didn't exist anymore. So that would do less work for death. Technically.
Well, then they aren't dying, which means he's not impressing her by killing a bunch of
Andy,
people.
You work in IT. When do something
I?
Gets deleted...
Do I? We just talked
you
about
You had
this.
Worked in IT. When something gets deleted through a non-normal means, that requires more paperwork.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah.
She's just like, how do I file these people? I don't have a dust bin.
She does yeah. now.
It's a bug report.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just...
My wonderful, I
grimace with a fedora trying to impress a girl. That's all he is.
It's called a trilby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. He calls it a fedora, but it's actually a trilby because he got it for $10 at Walmart and it's made out of cardboard and felt.
Is it an infinite fedora? Was it made by... So that was the other thing about Endgame I didn't understand either. So he had to go get the gauntlet made uh-huh. from in Nivellidir. Yeah,
sure.
The dwarf place with the giant.
Shouldn't
dwarf.
You know this? You are a resident dwarf.
Yeah,
but he's not a space dwarf.
Space pants.
I can't pronounce the place that he went to, but he had to have the gauntlet specially made, and then the Avengers are like, Tony Stark could just make a gauntlet.
Sure, but I will note that there was a slight difference in what happened to the wielders of the gauntlet in the two films.
Both of them, I guess all the damage
the
pretty
end
much
result
went,
was this.
In Infinity War, basically all the damage went to the gauntlet.
There was some singeing, but even that was less than what happened to the first person to snap in Endgame.
Correct.
Yes.
Who can take something like that potentially.
Correct.
But,
so,
yeah.
The second snap... Oh, no, it was the first person. Fuck you, spoilers. So... The snap from Infinity Wars barely singes Thanos. There is some damage, but not
a
lot.
Not much.
And that's from wiping out half the life in the universe, right?
Correct.
The first snap in Endgame, Thanos' arm gets totally fucking wrecked from using the stones to destroy themselves, which is a big deal, and using a damaged gauntlet, because the gauntlet was raw screwed from the first snap.
Pretty much. I think it was actually attached to his hand
it
at that point.
It was really bad shape, yep. right? Hulk snaps the exact same power level as the first snap, the wishing everyone back versus wishing away. And the damage to Hulk is way more than the damage to Thanos' arm the first snap.
Correct.
In fact, the damage to Hulk is almost more like the damage to Thanos' arm from the second snap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony's snap is just to kill 1,000 people?
An army.
Maybe?
An army. Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
And it murders him.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, yes... Tony Stark's stuff was able to hold the stones. Yes, it was able to harness it to use its effects, but he suffered way more than the gauntlet.
I would also argue though that he is just a human yeah. as compared to Hulk or Thanos.
And as Chat said, you know, Hulk taking more damage than Thanos did could have just been that Hulk is weaker than Thanos.
Yeah.
Which he is, you know, because reminder, Thanos was not using any stones during the battle with the Hulk. It's not like they passively make him stronger. So
also, Hulk is in a different state of mind than what he was back when he was mindless raging Hulk.
Yeah.
Because the angrier Hulk gets, the stronger Hulk gets. And when, I mean, when
we've
Banner's in charge.
Yes.
When Banner's in charge, I mean, he's not exactly... He's strong. But he almost needs that raw adrenaline to really get him rolling.
So hey, if Doctor Strange can just open a portal from where they were left at the end of Infinity Wars back to Earth, like with no problems whatsoever, yo, why did he have to worry about if Tony could like turn the ship around, like in Infinity War, when Spider-Man and Tony rescue him, and he's like, "Can you turn the ship around?" Why didn't he just make a portal? Turns out he can just portal from anywhere in the universe back to Earth. No problem, y'all.
Yeah.
Also, make a portal to, like, the moon and throw the gauntlet into it at the after Thanos' ship is blown up. What's he going to do?
I think they could have ended hiding it. I think it would have been actually another great way to end that movie would have been to have them separate the stones and form the Infinity Watch. Yeah. That would have been... Because, I mean, and then just leave Thanos on Earth...
Well, I do. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week. We were talking about it, but I expected Thanos to be left alive because at the beginning of that whole sequence, he talks to them all and he says, "You know, you were too weak. You couldn't live with your own failure."
Mm-hmm.
And so when his army disappears, I thought that they would leave him alive and just say to him, "You know, now live with your failure.
Yeah, yeah.
See if you can live with your failure." But yeah, instead they just got rid of James Brolin.
Yeah,
that's fine.
They're all expensive.
Yeah, it's true. They're all expensive. Kill all the expensive people. Leave Falcon around.
He's Captain America.
Fuck you.
He's going to be fine.
Captain Sharpie Beard.
Did you see I remember seeing somebody post online like a meme that has like every hero has a Sam. Because there's Samwise and Sam from Game of Thrones as well. So,
sure.
Yeah. Every hero's got a Sam.
Yep. Makes sense.
What's in the guidebook?
We're going to need another Sam. Problems? Something about Blizzard ticketing app. BlizzCon?
Oh, God, that train wreck.
This I don't know about.
I only heard that there's a...
For BlizzCon this year, you are required to present your ticket via a mobile app. There's no paper tickets allowed. This mobile app, at least on Android, because iOS probably would not allow this, but at least on Android, basically asks for root access to your phone.
Why would it need that? Why would it need any access to anything?
It's a picture viewer. That's all
it is.
It's
a picture viewer.
Yeah, because it's a QR code.
Why would you need anything?
Wow.
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 Wow. Arkansas Girl's right. Your meme is flawed. Because the hero didn't have a Sam. The hero had a Frodo.
Oh, yeah. I suppose. Frodo still threw it into the
No.
He did not. Smeagol did.
Oh, that's true.
Frodo was unable to do so. In fact, nobody willingly threw it into Mount Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a while since I watched those.
Although Sam potentially could have been the only one to actually have done that.
But Sam totally could have. Like, Sam would have been like, meh.
Yeah, because, you know, it'd be like, you can have the biggest garden. He'd be like, no.
I can just plant one. Thanks.
Bye.
Good old Sam. I can tell you from playing the Lord of the Rings co-op game, always give the ring to Sam.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. So the Android app asked for root access.
I don't know if it's actually root, but it's pretty damn high.
Ugh.
And like I said... My guess is the iOS one is not as bad just because the one advantage of the Apple walled garden is they don't let shit like that happen.
Sure, sure. I've always wanted to go to BlizzCon, though. It's been one of the plans. Well, but
it's okay. Just
buy a burner phone.
Correct. And give them all of your life story.
Yeah.
Just the burner phone. Like, they can have my fake ID's life story. I'll get a track phone.
Gordon Tremesco?
Yeah, Gordon Tremesco's life story. Gordon Tremesco is going to BlizzCon.
We're sorry. He's already checked in.
Oh, no. I wonder how many Gordon Tremescos are there. Because I didn't make that name up. That's a reference to a relatively popular television show.
Isn't it? It's Jason Lee, isn't it?
Or, it is not.
No. What am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of My Name is Earl? That's
yes.
The only Jason Lee. No, this is from 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
The Tracy Morgan character.
Oh.
His alias is Gordon Tremesco.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so it's worse than even I thought it was. It wants access to the credit card information stored on your phone. So it wants access to Google.
I wonder if
why it, would it need any of that?
Maybe because they're thinking. I'm trying to think of.
I got it.
In-app purchases.
Sure. Yeah.
Would you like to charge your room for a small nominal fee?
Yeah, that's probably the. I'm willing to bet you. That it's intentional. I'd like to think it's not intentional, but it's just.
I mean, incompetent evil is still evil.
That's true. But I bet you it was probably for something like that too, is for you to have access so you can make purchases at BlizzCon itself, so you wouldn't actually have to like run everything there.
Like, correct. Like
you
I said,
go up to a kiosk or a booth or something like that, and you want to buy
your ticket. Buy your $9 water bottle.
Yeah. So you could just do that, and that to me sounds actually pretty awesome, but.
This is what happens when you let software developers write all the requirements.
Yeah. It probably wasn't run through the proper channels. So somebody said, hey, could you whip this up? And they're like, yeah, I could do it. And
excuse me while I whip this up.
Oh. So they straight up war roomed it.
Yeah, they probably asked one of their best buddies.
The ticketing app was done in Unity.
Oh. Yeah, if it is just literally a QR code display thing, then it doesn't need to be.
It does not need to be God.
It does not need to have access to anything. Access to maybe photos on your computer, because that's where it's going to keep the picture of the app over the QR code. Yeah.
I was going to make a reference, but I can't remember the name of the actor, and it's ruining everything. True story.
What from?
Is it a jackal?
No.
Is it a jackal? Is it a jackal?
Yeah, it's a jackal. I'm getting there. David Warner. I was going to say, like, does the app, like, have a little...
I don't know who that is either.
He was the guy who played the Master Control Program in the original Tron.
Oh, okay. I do know who that is.
Jesus. Yeah. I feel like a deep cut there.
Not for me. I love Tron. Also, the Master Control Program. I was going to say, basically, you turn to this app is going to be like a super user on your phone, and you're going to have to ask it permission to use other apps because that's the kind of access it has. And then from there, my brain went to the MCP and thus to David Warner.
Oh, I would have gone to ICP. Hal.
No, you would have been wrong.
Can you imagine being locked out of your phone by Hal?
I'm sorry, but I cannot do that.
I would actually love to have that as a failed to log in. So.
I actually quoted Hal to a bill collector once upon a time, but I don't think they got it.
Was it a robot call? Because you were responding in a robot voice.
It was a person, and they were like, you know, they're talking about, because like I owed some money for whatever, because I was poor and everything was terrible at the time. It was the every month sell exactly as much of my video games and DVDs and books to a secondhand store as necessary to be able to scrape up the last $50 to pay rent. Mm-hmm. You know, that phase of my life, otherwise known as currently. That's a joke. But anyway, so this collection agency called, and they're like, blah, 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 you know, give us this money. I'm like, I don't have money. And they're like, well, why don't you borrow some money from people? I'm like, borrowing money is why I don't have any money. That's guess who told you to call me? Somebody I borrowed money from. So I don't have any money. So they kept pushing and pushing. I said, I'm sorry. This conversation can serve no further purpose. Goodbye.
And then the lawsuit started.
Nah. And they just, yeah.
Yeah, after 7 years, it's fine.
Yeah, I think that one I did just, like, go away.
Yeah.
The only ones I have now, they haven't. I don't know. I just keep not opening the. No, I open the mail and look at it, but technically they don't know I'm opening the mail and looking at it. I can tell now, so this is proof. Nobody tell anybody about this. But I keep getting the bills from Illinois Department of Transportation because, like, I didn't pay a 40-cent toll once, so now I owe them $800,000 because that's how the Illinois Department of Transportation works.
Yeah.
And fuck you.
Yeah,
just fuck you. And so all these trips to Chicago and back I've done these last 3 weekends, I haven't paid a single damn toll. Oh. And Raylene's like, why didn't we get an iPass? I'm like, because then I'd have to pay the tolls. This way, they're free. And that does not make her happy, but it's okay. You don't have to pay any tolls in Illinois.
Hey, speaking of which, weren't we supposed to hear the stories about this from earlier?
Huh?
Oh, you had mentioned something about Mother's Day is coming up. And yeah, it's
I was just going to say that like some of us might have kids and wives and not... Maybe we're supposed to take somebody out to a steak dinner with flowers and not podcast next Sunday.
Are we? I'm going to podcast next Sunday.
All right. Well, you enjoy that.
Are we not going to podcast next week? Should we?
You can podcast.
And next you know how I live my life. I have no clue what I'm doing next Sunday.
Sure.
Yes, I'm sure I could podcast, but there would be repercussions.
You better not be D&D on Sunday then.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay.
Because of Mother's Day. Because some of the people in the D&D thing have wives and children. Yeah, and then know that there would be repercussions. Because they did the standard, well, you could go play D&D if you want to. And then stared silently.
Okay, dear, I'll cancel. Wesley did that to me earlier.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't podcast next Sunday.
I'm willing to put money down. My wife forgot what day Mother's Day is.
So I screwed up because I needed to go down again to fucking Illinois, to my father's widow. She wants me to visit and, like, all these old people heard that my house is big and they want to give me all their old crappy furniture. Like, I don't need a goddamn pool table, but whatever. So they have all this furniture.
One thing I have learned,
Andy,
in my life.
I'm going to let you finish that sentence. You have a bend in your stairs. No.
Yeah, you could not get it down.
Oh,
here.
No. A wall would have to come out and a floor.
Yeah, pool tables are either very expensive or free. You can get pool tables whenever you want.
Yeah, and pianos.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You said that about pianos, so I did steal that from you. I apologize. Yeah. But the point is, like, I told her, like, two weekends ago, I'm like, I can't because I have to do this, and next weekend I have to do that. But the weekend after that, I don't have plans, so sure. And the problem with thinking in the terms of weekends without looking at the actual numerical values of those days is that you make plans to drive down and pick up furniture from your stepmother-in-law's house on your wife's birthday and Mother's Day. You shouldn't do that. You should check calendars when you make plans and not just think in terms of weekends.
Yeah. It's when I was actually making up plans.
Hey,
Raylene
can go with you, and it can be a wonderful bonding experience.
Don't worry. I had volunteered her to come with.
So, yeah, it's kind of like me. As I made plans for Gilball to run an event last weekend, which I ran, and I made one for the 4th, and I completely forgot that it was only a week later. So I made an event for the 4th, and then next week I'm going to Milwaukee for an event.
No, next week we're going to Chicago. The week after, you're going to Milwaukee.
Oh, so next week is Chicago,
yes,
event, and then the week after that is the Milwaukee one,
yes,
for Gilball?
And then you have Moncon.
And then Moncon. Yeah, so... yeah, Leslie hates me.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, and I
welcome to gaming with in a relationship.
Yeah, I thought I had time.
This was so easy when you were single, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
like I could have a hobby every day of the week if I didn't value, you know, my relationship surviving.
Yeah. Well, she's got her son, so she can hang out with him.
Yeah, that's fine. Sounds like a plan.
No, that's not how it works at all. That's not how any of this works.
Yes.
Hey, Andy, since you said that live and recording, can I have permission to loot your basement?
I don't think I'll be dead. Yet.
I don't want to loot it. I just want to cut enough out of the corner of that carpeting so it stops doing that.
I don't think you have to wait for him to be dead to do that.
Okay, I'll be right back, guys.
I tried cutting it, and it's actually pretty tough.
No, I got... Hold on, I got this.
No, don't cut it. Don't cut it. There's a lot of important cords underneath it right now.
Wait, I got... all right, this will get through that carpeting.
Those little scissors?
I got it.
Yeah, no. No.
If I wasn't afraid of the camera breaking, I'd give you $1 to go cut it on camera.
Yeah. No.
But we've had technical difficulties once this weekend, and so I don't want to move the camera.
Yeah. I apologize for everybody who tried to tune in right at 6, and we didn't show up as we normally do at 6.
We're normally right there, like right
normally
at 6.
Right there.
I mean, normally we're right upstairs at 6.
But I actually ran into issues with my computer. Wouldn't recognize the video card, and I think it wants to restart soon.
It was a really quick trip to Best Buy.
Yeah. We went to Quick Trip and then Best Buy. It's raining outside now.
It is.
It's raining, man!
So then next week, then I'm going to see if... Because Leslie does normally work on Sunday, so I can't do much anyway. So I might podcast on Sunday. Dan might be here. Nathan won't be here.
True story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing Saturday. I have no clue what I'm doing Sunday.
Yep.
All right, should we move on to our decent amount of Zappity Grumbles?
Holy
well, if there's
shit.
A decent amount of them, then we definitely should.
There are 6 of them on Facebook alone.
Ooh.
By multiple people.
Ooh.
Wow.
All right.
Zappity. So the first four are from Andrew Grove. First one, Zappity, what is your favorite Southeast Asian type cuisine?
Pho. Pho. Well, I was going to say pho. I like pho also.
Oh, well, Southeast Asia actually includes India as well.
Well, yeah, so that is the question. Man. Is India included in this? Because if not, Thai is the...
India is its own continent, though.
It's a subcontinent. But it is hilarious because I watch a lot of British television, and they refer to people from India and Pakistani as Asians. It's like, in America, we don't call those people Asians. Like, Asians refers to, like, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, etc. And it's just interesting how the nomenclature is so subtly different.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, if India is not included, it's a really tough choice between Thai and Vietnamese. But...
I haven't had enough to really know, so I basically answered it with the only thing that I do know is from that area.
Yeah, if I could only keep one and the others I wasn't allowed to eat anymore, I would keep Indian because I love pho, but like ramen's very similar, right? Like there's a lot of similar stuff that I can still get, and Japan's definitely not Southeast Asian, so I would save Indian food.
Sure.
I mean... I agree with that statement. However, that is a cop-out just by how varied Indian food is.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But it is a very tasty cop-out, so I allow it.
All right. I mean, you got... Give me naan and some lamb vindaloo.
Okay. All right. Zappity.
Grumble.
If Andy was Darth Sidious, in what order would you force Lightning to cast due to failure?
If failure, first to go would be Dave. That would be the first person I'd lightning zap. Unfortunately,
maybe
Nathan,
that's why he didn't come, because he knew that he'd have to defend himself.
The second, though, just because I think Dan would be the most shocked in there, I would zap you.
Sure. As a defensive measure.
Dave is a punishment. I would be like, yay! And then I would shoot Nathan because I know he would be the first one to kill me.
Sure. Well, teacher, master, kind of thing.
I'm actually just sad that I rank lower than the Aces.
That's true.
Oh, it was supposed to be just for a failed podcast?
Well, no, just in general. I figured that computer would die.
That doesn't count
me.
As a member of the podcast in your mind.
No, I wouldn't do Cambot again.
Poor Cambot.
Yes. Yeah, whatever. Cambot's part of the robot roll call.
Very true. Man, I missed that. I haven't watched any of the new... New Mystery Science Theater.
That's, you can't say you miss it when there's 20 perfectly good episodes you've chosen not to watch.
Yeah.
Arguably 19 episodes if you're one of the people who doesn't like Reptilicus. But I like Reptilicus on a second viewing. It just was not a good one to start with for that season. Cry Wilderness is an amazing episode, so it picks up quickly. Sorry, Zappity.
Grumble. All right, next up. What miniature game looks the most appealing to you, but also one that you can't or won't buy into?
Man, I got... I didn't get it for free. I got it for the price of a burger, even though the person I bought the burger for insisted that I shouldn't be paying for the burger, and they were happy to give it to me for free. But the point is, I got the starter set for the Song of Ice and Fire rank and file minis game, and that actually looks like a really good game.
And I still came out $80 ahead on that deal.
Yeah, and there's decent people, a decent number of people locally who are like starting to play it. So that game looks interesting, but I can't more miniatures games. Can't.
Same with me. Actually, Dust looks really, really interesting. It's kind of like a what if Hitler and Hitler was killed in it. But
yeah,
Hitler
dies relatively early in that chronology.
But it's basically 1947. War is still going on.
They find aliens.
They find aliens. And make matches. Unlock portals to hell and such. So there's demons coming into the world. And there's a whole bunch of mechs running around, but they're all like World War II style mechs. So
it's a very cool aesthetic. I've already sold that one off once. I think all my stuff has made the rounds and now actually Jared owns it. So
probably it looks cool. It plays actually very easy. Mm-hmm.
Is it still grid based or?
Yeah, it's grid based.
Okay.
Jared was trying to run a kind of like a Warhammer Quest style adventure where you just take like the starter set and just run around in a dungeon. It was simple. It was fine. I can't get into it. I've already got War Machine and Guild Ball and Blood Bowl. And I don't play Blood Bowl, so yeah, too much.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the name of it. There was a a smaller miniatures game I saw at Adepticon that all I remember is lots of like power armor, like special forces, and this very cool like helicopterish transport, and it looks all cool, and I know that I would put it in a closet and never play it.
Yeah. So.
But. Like Eldorado was another really cool looking miniature game too.
All I know is that you said there's mechs in it about Dust, and it made just the way that you said that, it triggered in my brain that I hope somewhere there's like a Battletech guild or some other similar thing from the southern part of North America that refers to themselves as the Mexicans. I want that to exist. The pun is too perfect. I need there to be Mexicans.
That's why we're building a wall.
Well, the wall ain't going to help. There are Mexicans. They will just trample straight through that thing with their, you know.
Their mechs.
Yeah, but I was going to do some specific ones. Like I think Sunder is one of them. You got your Blackhawks, Vultures, the Owens.
Would there be some Tex Mexicans?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's the thing is, yeah.
They're just bigger mechs.
Yes. Well, they've got different tech.
Yeah. Tech Mexicans.
Zappity.
Well, the people who repair it, those are the techs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but they just live in Texas.
Sure. Well, yeah, yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. All right, last one from Andrew. Do you prefer physical War Machine cards or doing everything in War Room?
To be perfect, in most games, I like having physical cards. The main reason is it's just easier to glance over across the table than to have somebody and look to see how much health is left on something than it is to say, hey, how much health does it have in the mech or in that that jack, and then have the person fumble around on his tablet or phone and then look it up.
See, War Machine, your reason. I add my opponent's caster immediately. Like Jax and Beast, maybe I don't do all of them, but I add my opponent's caster right away. But
it'd be nicer if in an app it had a better one-to-one where we could sync up the two games and I could see the
totally
damage.
Has that functionality, Andy. Yeah. Have you had difficulty getting that to work? I am so shocked.
My battery has difficulty getting that to work.
Also, for some reasons, mostly due to people downloading porn, no game store I know has access to Wi-Fi anymore for normal players.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
I can hotspot on my phone. Maybe that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, but, I mean...
I can let people hook up to my phone hotspot because I have infinite mobile data.
It'd be neater. You could almost connect over a Bluetooth would be something that you could pass information over that way.
I mean, I know that Andy is outvoted here because I will say that I am still angry that I cannot play. I am angry that I need cards to play Monpok.
Yeah.
Like, I should have a Monpok version of War Room so I can just fucking play in there.
Let me download Unity.
Cards are cards are cumbersome and annoying and stupid, and I hate them.
Fuck print.
The retail space for, the card space that you need for Monsterpocalypse is stupid. It's almost as big as the board.
It can be bigger.
Between the two players, I think it is bigger.
Yeah.
Like in a normal, like your average kind of list, especially with buildings, there is more card space used up than there is buildings, actual map space.
Have you thought about adding like giant billboards on top of the buildings?
With like all the stats?
With all the stats of the cards?
I could, yeah.
I mean, or just...
It's just annoying because I'm 90% of the way there with the Monpok list builder. It has all of the stats. The only thing it doesn't have is damage tracker. So maybe I just need to just bring my old Mark I damage trackers for the beasts and just use that.
Is anything over 10 health?
Yes. There is stuff.
So that's...
But it's not a big deal because in the original one, you'd have your normal and your hyper, and they'd each have up to 10 health.
Sure.
You'll have like 12 total, but it's 6 and 6, right?
Oh, okay.
So you can easily just have them both set at 6 and just count them down.
Okay. Yeah. I just like the physical form of cards itself. I don't know. Same thing with me and Guild Ball. I actually really don't like online Guild Ball apps because you're always spending a resource with it, and it's, for me, if I'm going to make an attack on somebody, it's almost I need to see how much momentum you have in order for you to be able to do a reactive to me. And if I know you don't have any momentum without
the tokens need to be on the board.
Correct.
Because even with like cards, when some asshole has their focus on the cards instead of on the table.
Fuck that.
No.
Correct.
Just no.
Correct.
But the rules specifically say put that shit on the table, because hiding it on your cards off to the side, that ain't cool.
Yeah. Same thing with momentum as well. Correct. That's
a tangential lot of this. What is this apparent thing? I mean, I don't play currently, so maybe I've missed it, or maybe this guy just plays where there are idiots. But he was talking on Facebook about circle players with corpse tokens. They, like, if there's zero corpse tokens, they all actually have one corpse token, unless some have zero, in which case they'll put one on the other ones. And, like, is that a thing, or does this guy just play with idiots?
I think he plays with idiots.
Like, people who are lazy and don't want to start with a one corpse token on everything is like, well, you know they all have one.
Sure.
So
no.
Screw you. Put a corpse token on each.
Yes.
Correct.
The answer is the answer to your question is yes and yes.
Like, but nobody locally does. Like, that's not a standard thing, is it?
I don't know. I haven't been down to War Machine Night in a month.
Nick's got a great idea for Monpox. So why didn't you put all the stats right on the base of the...
The issue is the there's a lot of text to make those cards so big. So what you need to do is take all of those abilities and reduce them to like an icon of some kind.
Some kind of icon or something that you may be able to put like a number underneath if they have like an attack or something.
So you could just iconify all of the individual abilities and put them on the base, like around,
around the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably do something like that.
And then we hire some Chinese kids to paint them all for us.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
You know what also would be kind of fun, because you were talking about AAA game earlier, is loot boxes are a lot of fun.
So in addition to having them sealed packages.
Yes. You get the excitement of opening up a random model. But all the rules are right there in simple icons, and they're pre-painted for you.
Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
I mean, you could sign a contract with a film company losing rights to your own games.
Yeah, that could happen. Or you end up owing that company X amount of money because the things that you were selling are claimed as toys.
Allegedly.
Wah, wah, wah. Zappity.
Grumble! Let's get ready to grumble!
All right. Brian Sin, what would it take to make DC get their own endgame down the road?
Patience.
Yeah.
Fucking patience, DC. Take
your
time.
I thought you were talking about David Carl.
That too.
I mean, his endgame could easily it's just shotgun. I meant that as just a horrible, horrible joke. So,
well, he didn't say he used it on himself. Maybe he thinks DC's going to go on a killing spree.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Danny. You get the Brian Giese Award for the night.
Yeah, jeez, Louise.
Dark path I have went.
Fucking hey, like you go. What was it? Three movies, including itself, before they had Justice League. Like there was Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and then Justice League.
Yeah, pretty
Meanwhile, the Avengers, even the first Avengers, was sixth movie.
It was pretty far down. I think Iron Man 2 came up before.
There were two Iron Mans, a Captain America, a Hulk, a Thor, at least those five.
Yeah, I think
before
it was
Avengers.
Sixth.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Six, not third, sixth. Take your time.
Well, yeah. And you just make good movies. I mean, like need to jump to Batman v Superman immediately.
Now they have to replace Batman again already.
Yeah. Plus, they ruined probably one of the best potential stories they could have had 5 years from now of a full-on Dark Knight Returns. Because, man, that even the animated version of it, the graphic novel, it's held up there as being like one of the top Batman graphic novels of all time. And the animated version of it is really fucking good, too.
Yeah. Although part of the issue is that
Joker voice, but that's fine.
One of the reasons, but one of the reasons that comic book, graphic novel, whatever, was so important at the time. So now Batman's dark and edgy. We all think of Batman as dark and edgy because Batman is dark and edgy and has been for our lives, pretty much,
you effectively know, 32
since
years,
our childhoods.
Yes, wow.
And so, Well, since your childhood, for sure, because since before you were born.
I have to look up when in 87 Dark Knight Returns came out. But
yes, okay. Point is, for varying between neonatal / elementary school, the Dark Knight has always been edgy and badass. But when that one came out, it was, you know, the last thing people knew was Adam West, was Cesar Romero in the Joker suit surfing competition against Batman. Right, so it was a big deal to change that shit.
The 70s had more. It was basically the 60s and
mid-70s.
The 70s was comics in the wilderness for a lot of stuff.
Sure. Yes, and so it was a huge deal to do that. But yeah, but no, the point is just take your fucking time.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
also don't just try and rote copy what MCU did. Like, yes, actually tell a story.
I mean, like we talked about, like the best DC movie we've seen recently has been Shazam, at least for me.
Shazam and Wonder Woman are both solid, and Wonder Woman falls apart in the third act. Between the two of them, I'd say Shazam's the better movie.
Oh yeah, easily. Although, Shazam's the better movie.
Man, that trench scene, the no man's land scene in Wonder Woman is the best thing in any DC film. Yeah. But overall, Shazam's just such a fun movie.
Also, they should kill off Superman at least twice.
The thing is that they've already killed off Superman in the stupidest way, too.
Sure, but I'm okay with that happening repeatedly. Like,
full on
they
edge
alternate
tomorrow.
Between killing him and bringing him back.
Like I said, full on edge it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the issue with Superman is very similar to the issue that you have of minutes. Captain Marvel as part of the Avengers. Yeah. Captain Marvel is basically the Superman of the Avengers.
Correct, and they kept her off screen for everything but her origin story in about 10 minutes of Endgame.
Yep. Correct.
Which is how you handle someone of that power.
Correct. The problem is, though, is the Justice League is filled with people of Superman's strength or power.
Which is why
Aquaman is technically as powerful as Superman. Not but
physically,
fairly,
right?
Physically. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fine, you know, because you have Hulk and you have Thor. I mean, MCU, they have a lot of heavy hitters in their group.
Sure, true. The difference is Marvel has traditionally understood that people with that level of power also need flaws or you run out of ideas really quickly.
Yeah. Correct.
Whereas DC has been, look, here's the 15th perfect superhero.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, yeah, Hulk's got anger issues. Thor has got, he's got noble issues.
Yeah, his parent issues, and family issues.
Yeah, I mean he's got issues. No, yeah, humility issues is Thor. He's he's got too much pride.
Also, until Ragnarok, Thor was depending on the hammer situation. Like Thor had limitations. Like he was just a strong dude that would punch you real hard, and could pseudo fly because of Mjolnir.
Well,
right? His power level skyrocketed a lot once he unlocked his God of Thunder shtick.
Yeah, but I mean, he has always relied on overconfidence. He had an ego, and that's basically why Odin gave him the ability to turn into Donald Blake.
MCU, we're sticking films.
No, he didn't actually ever transform Donald Blake.
None of that's in the MCU version of Thor. He's just Thor.
Yeah.
Well, that's why
he did have an umbrella as a little in-joke at the beginning of Ragnarok. He had an umbrella with him.
But he banished him to Earth to teach him humility is basically what he wanted to do. I agree with Nathan in there. It just has to be patience. You just have to you have to have somebody that's a Kevin Feige that has the vision.
Correct.
And the love of the characters. Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing, is you either need to change the DC characters to give them flaws, or you need to spend more money on writers so that you actually tell a good story of these perfect characters.
I recently listened to a podcast that had something talking about Kevin Feige, and I think the reason why Kevin Feige even worked in general is because of his love of the characters.
Yeah. Correct.
The
I posted
exact
a video about it. I don't know if that's what it was. But
no,
yeah, okay.
No.
You should watch that video. It's good.
But it was like the exact opposite of what the X-Men were saying, though. It's like when the X-Men showed up, and you're like, oh, what do you want us to do? Is it dress up in blue spandex? And like, no, that's exactly what the people want. They want what's already on paper.
Yeah.
Those characters that they have been on those papers has been there for 50 years and they have worked for 50 years on there. There's no reason for you to change them into something else. And I think that's what the problem with DCEU did is that they changed them into other things. Batman in...
Well, and poorly.
Yeah. Batman and poorly, in Batman v Superman is not... He's Batman in vision only.
Yeah.
Superman is Superman in vision only. He's not the character of Superman.
Mm-hmm. And as Chat mentioned, they have flaws. It's just DC doesn't intelligently use those flaws in their storytelling in those films to date.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the films are also just badly done in general.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, even the things that we mock and ridicule could have been done well. Like the Martha scene. If you lean into that better and isn't just, oh, our moms are both named Martha, what a weird coincidence. We're best friends now. But instead, a good director can make it so that scene isn't about, wow, your mom's name is Martha. It's about, I am killing a child who's scared for his mother as I was scared for my mother and father as they died in an alley in front of me. I've become Joe Cool. this is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And
add
if you
flashback
set that
scene,
up well, yep. you set that up well, you write your movie better, you direct your movie better, and that scene is fucking fine.
Yeah.
Instead of being a goddamn joke for the rest of human history. Like, it's the execution is so bad. Like, just so make good movies and make more of them at a reasonable pace so that it builds up to these events and just jumping feet first in. Because not only did they jump in feet first, they jumped into the shallow end head first, feet first. It's like, calm down.
I mean, it's like, yeah.
Yes.
They picked their wrong.
They did this and just jumped in.
DC picked the wrong, I felt like the wrong person to yes. run their universe.
You could have just said they picked the wrong person, end statement.
Zack Snyder, I mean, he brought us really cool looking stuff. I mean, he brought us 300, which is a really great adaptation of the comic book. Thing is, though, he kept making more adaptations and gave us his version of Superman and Batman. And Wonder Woman and all the other guys, and it doesn't match what the material shows.
Well, because
it also isn't different enough to be its own thing,
right? Because the issue is he gives us these bizarro versions that miss the point while ticking the boxes.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Like his Watchmen adaptation is actually pretty damn good in general, but it misses the point entirely. Like, it is a flawless adaptation on the surface level, and then you realize, well, Watchmen is about how all these people are broken and terrible, and nothing they do matters or is correct. But he does this loving blowjob to the concept of the Watchmen, which is wrong. The book is a vilification. It is
I mean, the title is Who Watches the Watchmen?
Right.
Because they're just, they're horrible people.
The book is saying this is bad. It is a damnation of the concept of superheroes thinking that they know best and can do best just because they have abilities above you. But the movie says, they're so awesome, look at them kick people in an alley, and that's not the fucking point.
And they should have fixed the fat casting there, because Night Owl was the worst.
But you know what? Night Owl is the goddamn worst in the comic, so that could have been okay if he'd leaned into Night Owl being the worst.
Yeah.
You know, Rorschach is not a hero. Like, it's Tyler Durden syndrome. Rorschach is a goddamn psychopath.
Correct.
He is a monster. Nope, he's super cool, guys. Ain't Rorschach cool? Look how badass he is. No, Zach, no!
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of going with, modern adaptations. You don't. There are things that have proof of concept of working for, the past 20 years, 30 years.
And then there's Sonic.
You look at Sonic. Sonic is the perfect example of a company that says, hey, we need to make a movie, but we need to make it our own thing. It's like Mario Brothers.
Look like a kid in footy pajamas. It's, those goddamn proportions.
And the teeth.
The fact that they actually made a fucking trailer, they actually, it's basically pretty much done in filming, but they made a trailer for it, and it got approved to be sent out to the world.
Gangsta's Paradise. Gangsta's Paradise.
It's such... I mean, it's not a... It's a wonderful song, but it's just not what I think of when hearing that...
When I think of a blue hedgehog moving really quickly to fight a mad scientist, I think of the plight of the black man in the inner city.
Correct, yeah.
What? Like, what?
I mean, why didn't that start off with, seriously, just like a black shot and then just give us the beginning guitar riff for Kickstart My Heart?
Sure.
And then just show Sonic zooming around with, yeah. You could have cut out all dialogue of it and just show Sonic just running fast.
But not that Sonic.
Not that Sonic.
Show me a different Sonic.
Not my Sonic.
But the
Hashtag not my Sonic.
At least the director, whoever's filming it, has said, thanks for the great feedback, guys. We're going to go back and work on it.
Thanks for the fact that a random guy in its basement had, in 30 seconds, had a better version of Sonic. Like, it's not hard.
No.
Like, they didn't make Pikachu just look like a dog, right? Like,
correct.
You don't fuck with the proportions.
Yeah.
That's what the character looks like. If we already are accepting that this is a sentient bipedal hedgehog wearing shoes, you don't need to give it human baby proportions.
Correct. Like, how did that make it past the boardroom? I mean, when the boardroom and all the... I mean, there's obviously nobody there who had played Sonic or had done anything with Sonic.
So
other than... here's a blue hedgehog. We're going to make him like the Pikachu, and then we're going to make a movie when he's going to go fast, and we're going to have Jim Carrey, and he's going to be all...
My theory is that they saw that Detective Pikachu is going to be a thing, and they bought the cheapest license they could find, because nobody cares about Sonic the Hedgehog. But so I was discussing this in a movie message board, and we were making fun of the subtitle as well. The Every Hero Has a Genesis.
Yes.
Waggle eyebrows. And then somebody else was like, James Marsden is going to take Sonic on a Mega Drive. And then somebody else said, we couldn't afford a Dreamcast.
Because they got Ben Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, the only thing that's...
Still at the height of his career, obviously. Yeah. Difficult get.
I mean, like, the only thing that's even redeemable about that trailer is the last 3 seconds of the trailer.
You mean when it's over in black and silent?
Yes.
No, when they show us Jim Carrey, with, Jim Carrey with full-on Robotnik view, which we won't see for that movie until
exact half-second shot will be at the end of the credits after the worst movie you've ever seen in your life.
Correct.
I'm willing to say that it'll be better than Thin Red Line.
Thin Red Line?
Thin Red Line. It's fine. It's long and boring and terrible, but a lot of war movies are long and boring and terrible, and that's okay.
Yeah, but that followed Saving Private Ryan.
I mean, bad luck for it, right? Like,
but even then, it was still horrible, terrible.
Thin Red Line. If you're into things that are incredibly long and boring, Thin Red Line is a perfectly fine movie.
If you like voiceovers.
I like voiceover inner dialogue that just rambles about nothing.
I got a movie for you. It's like that, except it has a plot.
It's Dune?
Actually.
Oh, somebody tried to fucking...
Hold on. I got a movie like that for you. It has a plot for about an hour.
Yes.
Is it Dune?
Yes.
On my Facebook, somebody was like, why are they making a new Dune? Because the first Dune got everything perfect. And I'm like, no, that movie was terrible. And so they're like, can you even name something that they, apart from replacing the Kung Fu with the weirding boxes, can you name anything that it missed from the books?
The last
it had
hour?
Everything that was in the books, ergo, it's a perfect adaptation. It's like, that's not how you measure the quality of a film. Ticking the fucking boxes doesn't make you a good movie any more than missing the boxes makes you a bad movie. There are bad adaptations that are great films.
Yeah, it's called the Transformers series.
Yeah.
Except for Bumblebee.
But like V for Vendetta misses half the damn boxes.
Yeah.
Terrible adaptation. That movie's great. I love V for Vendetta.
Sure. It's a solid film.
In fairness, half the boxes that they skipped Should have been skipped.
Yes. Meanwhile, Watchmen ticks all the boxes.
And misses the point.
And so it falls on its face.
Still good film, though. I still like it.
It has a very redeemable quality over the book, which is you can get through it in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Whereas the book takes longer.
Well, the book also has that the side.
The Black Black Pearl Princess.
I really like that story.
Sure, but it's cool. But I like how it is a separate thing in the movie universe, and you can watch that as its own thing and not have it interspersed in weirdly cut pacing.
If by weirdly you mean it mirrors the events of the real world perfectly to give hyper focus to blah, 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 arty fart fart.
Sure, I don't think it would translate well into film.
Either. No, it does not. There's a version that has it in there. It does not work.
Yeah. There's a reason that is a separate 24 minutes short.
Yes. Anyway, zappity, like a half hour ago.
All right. Well, I agree with Jim, though. It said, though, is at least they're listening to fan criticism about the
one bright side about having your main character be a CGI thing that was shoved in there after you green screened everybody else is that you can just snap your fingers and fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You recode their shape and it just goes across the entire film because it's not even like traditional animation where it's different from all the angles. If they recode the shape of the actual model
and then
just insert it, it just fixes the entire film.
Yeah. All right. Zappity. Jelly-filled donuts or custard-filled donuts?
Custard. And not that whipped cream shit. The actual Bavarian custard, like the pudding.
Yep, I agree with that. It's not to say I won't eat both because
I'll
like donuts.
I'll take no filling over jelly filling.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I like a raspberry.
Or zero filling, and then if you give me jelly, I'll deal with it, and then I will not eat your cream-filled.
No, cream-filled is worse. That is easily bottom tier on there. I don't mind jelly donuts, but custard is easily the best.
But if I'm given the choice between a jelly donut and just like a ring donut, you know, like whatever, I'll take the ring donut.
Long John's or the normal, like just the smaller donut.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Long John ones.
Long Johns, you tend to get a better, like, you'll get a little custard in every bite. Mm-hmm. What happens with the round ones is, like, your first bite will have none, and then you'll notice that the remainder of it is just overflowing with just way too much custard.
Yeah, I was saying, I like Long Johns for filled donuts.
Yeah.
And for, like, a non-filled, I'd prefer the ring style.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Because
otherwise
it's too much cake.
Yeah. I'm here. I hear you. We're in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Grumble.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's it for Facebook. Jim, I did not see one from you.
How dare he? Yeah. How about pie type filling? I mean, what?
Oh, Tide filling?
Tide. Ooh, yum. How about pie type filling? I don't think, like, whole cherries? Like, a pecan pie?
No, he's asking what kind
of baseball?
No, he's asking.
Baseball, a donut? Why did I say baseball? I am high as a kite, guys.
I think if I'm translating Jim correctly, he wants to know what your favorite type of pie filling is.
Oh, I thought he meant like custard, jelly, or pie filling as your three donut options.
Oh, nope, he is thinking that. The fuck is wrong with you?
Who puts pie filling in a donut?
I mean, you get those in the like little snack cakes, like the
you
little...
mean in a pie?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Andy, why don't you go ahead and try making Jim a mod so that you can accidentally ban him? Pie filling in a donut? You psycho? What the?
Janesville, that's what's wrong.
Just whole apple slices just shoved inside of a donut? That's up there with the people who just roll it in breakfast cereal. That's just weird. I want pie filling in my pies. Just a donut filled with pecans.
In a pie.
Lemon meringue donut.
Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point we're just listing the Hertz menu.
That, yeah. Well, yeah, the shimmer of Hertz donuts wore off real fast for me.
Sure, about halfway through it when you realized that it was enough calories to feed a small African country.
Yeah. And then the tipping point beyond that was when they advertised on their Facebook posts that they had pickle donuts, and I got all excited, and I drove out to Middleton, and they didn't have any goddamn pickle donuts. It was a lie. It was a fucking lie. You don't taunt me with pickles and then not deliver. Don't read what Nick posted, Dan. Just don't do it. Ketchup-filled, well-done steak. Well, here's the thing. Once it's well done, the ketchup's going to
help.
Help salvage it, yeah.
Because that's like saying, what about like a gunshot that's been bandaged? Like, I'd rather have not been shot, but once you did it, thanks for the bandage, I guess.
Invent a bullet that will shoot somebody and then immediately suture it.
Yeah, that was a plot point in a movie that was good until that was a plot point. True story.
It was a what?
There was a movie called The Interview where it was one of those a lot of people stuck in a room with no explanation kind of movies, like The Circle and everything. And it was a job interview, and it was all weird and stuff. And then at the end, like, somebody got shot, but it turned out that, like, the bullet, like, was a healing bullet. So instead of dying, it made him okay again. And it was like, why is this a thing? Your movie was fine until this happened. You've ruined everything.
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Interview as in the one with...
With the big stripy dog?
With the big stripy dog.
It's like a big orange and black striped dog. No, because the thing
that
is,
movie
ketchup,
was much better than what I thought it
was
be.
Very good. I heartily recommend The Interview. But ketchup makes everything C-. So once you've made a well-done steak, you have F food, and the ketchup improves it.
Round one is bullets, and round two is tampon.
Yeah, exactly. If you're gonna, boom.
Ketchup.
Well, I mean, the tampon won't help then.
No.
But, I mean, that's what Kotex pads originally were. They were invented during World War I as battlefield dressing.
Mm-hmm. Check his pulse. It's probably my favorite sequence ever in Always Sunny is somebody gets their head shot off and Charlie goes, check his pulse.
Good stuff.
So we should be down to recommendations because...
It's 7:45.
Yeah, we're coming close to... Game of Thrones time.
So my recommendations, they would have been strong recommendations, but they're super strong for like the next 2 or 3 days. I think the sale's going through the 7th. But right now on the PlayStation, there is a sale. They're calling like Golden Week sale, and it's Japan game themed or whatever. I don't know. But there's a current sale goes on. I think it ends on the 7th, which is like day after tomorrow if you're watching us live, tomorrow if you're listening tomorrow, and then today if you're listening 2 days from now. And then it was yesterday if you're listening 3 days from now. It was 2 days ago if you're listening 4 days from now. I'm going to stop. So there were three games released in a series called the Zero Escape series. The first game was called 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors, sometimes shortened to just 999. And then there was Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward. And then the third one was Zero Time Dilemma. They were released on the DS originally, and now they're available on several different platforms, but specifically, topically, because of the sale, the PlayStation 4. The first two games are one game, like as a collection, you know, kind of like the Handsome Collection for Borderlands, called Zero Escape, the Nonary Games, and then Zero Time Dilemma is still its own game. They're normally like $50 each, and they're on sale right now for like $7.50 each. So like you get all three games for $15. It's an insanely good deal. They're basically like, it's like Saw, if you're one of the people stuck in the room. And they have multiple branching endings, like your decisions, who lives, who dies, sticks with you. So there's a lot of replayability, cool puzzle value. Because of the who lives and who dies affecting the branching patterns, you'll see different puzzles and different outcomes each time you play through. They're incredibly fun games if you're into puzzle games, if you're into the concept of locked rooms, like escape rooms, If the movies are terrible, but if the concept of Jigsaw, like trapping people and saying, here's some puzzle with you, these games are super good. And like I said, you can get all three games for less than $15 currently on PlayStation. I cannot recommend highly enough to go spend those $15 right now.
It is a golden shower of savings.
It is a golden shower of savings. Like it would normally be $100 right now. And it felt so good to have like, you know, 90% savings come up on the screen. There's some other good games that have a really big discount. I would check out this sale in general, but those two are really, in my mind, the creme de la creme to grab right now because they're normally so expensive.
I forgot to check to see what this month's PlayStation Plus deal is.
The new ones aren't live yet. They are What Remains of Edith Finch, which is a very good game, and Overcooked, which is also a very good game.
That would be a game I would love to see the cast try to play.
Overcooked, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I still want to get you and Jeremy into a room and try to defuse a bomb.
Sure, yeah. But yeah, that's my recommendation. Buy both/all three Zero Escape games right now while they're on sale.
Sweet. Am I supposed to say a recommendation?
One of the two of you is supposed to.
I recommend Game of Thrones.
What?
Yeah, I know everyone was talking about it. I would recommend watching Game of Thrones, avoiding all social media, and watch it the next day or just record it directly off of your HBO subscription through your provider, because trying to stream it on the day of is a bad move, because
There are reasons why I'm waiting until season 8 is on disc, and then I'm just going to watch all of it. This is one of them.
It's
watching them like 2 days later is fine.
Sure.
The initial stream, they slash the quality way down to deal with the over, and that's
sure. I mean, it's also just more.
If you're gonna do that, don't fucking be an asshole when people complain about the graphic quality and be like, "Well, you just need to buy better TVs." No, dickhead. You purposely reduce the quality of your stream.
Yeah. Because when I watch it, I had it recorded directly off my DVR, and It looked fine. I heard a lot of people were having troubles with
that's right. Wasn't pixelation. Last week's episode dark or something?
Yeah, it was very dark.
Really pixelated. Mm-hmm. Especially because it was so dark, like there'd be a nighttime scene, there'd be like all these people there and then the black sky, and like that middle ground where it was still grayish it looked like it was an NES game. These big gray squares.
For me, it was not that way at all.
It was for me when I streamed it, because I was streaming it live as it was going, and it was nasty bad.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's what I recommend is streaming it afterwards, or you know, like I said, record it if you believe in having a cable provider, you know, record it off of there.
Don't you work for a cable provider?
Yeah, I do, kind of.
Kind of.
I do shitty work for them right now. Yeah,
that's okay.
But yeah, no, Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It's this season. Honestly, the first three episodes have been pretty much my favorite episodes so far in the series.
The second one I really, really liked.
Second one had a lot of great character development and a lot of characters interacting, coming together.
Man, speaking of which, the third one really needed, and
was
I won't
a spotlight.
No. What the third episode really needed, and I won't spoil who or what or anything. This is vague enough. I mean, it's a battle. People died, right? Mm-hmm. But what the third one really needed was two additional named character deaths, and for both of them to be completely just matter-of-fact.
Senseless.
Just senseless.
Random dice.
Just no slow motion. It doesn't happen immediately after they do a heroic act. Just like a tide of just well, have one person in the foreground fighting, and in the background, half in focus, you see Brienne. I'll just say Brienne. I won't spoil whether or not she survives. But you have Jaime in the front, and in the back is Brienne, and then you just see her just get fucking ganked. Just a spear through the face or just overrun. No zoom in, no slow-mo, no reaction, just dead. Get two of those. Because the Game of Thrones series doesn't do that anymore. They don't have the balls to do that anymore. And that's what people came to expect. Yeah. That's what Red Wedding did. That's what Ned Stark's beheading did, is that the show was brave enough to just fucking kill people.
Yep, and yeah, it's everyone's got the plot armor now. And
well, I mean, they're trying to stretch it out for three more episodes.
Correct, but you know what? You got three more episodes. You got 20-something named characters. You can kill a dozen of them.
Yeah,
they killed more than zero. Sure,
but that's you could have killed a dozen. The finale.
And again, like there's every named character death that happened in the episode was after a big dramatic thing. And it's like, don't. Just have someone just get crushed. You know? Like, think back to Battle of Blackwater when there's the explosion and the Onion Knight's, like, thrown off of his boat. Just that, but without surviving. Yeah. Just boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, Wash and Serenity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Although he even still, you know, it was kind of a moment, but it was just boom, it's done, you're gone, right?
Yeah, it still was an unexpected thing. Correct. You're like, all right, everyone's going to make it out. Oh, nope.
Well, no, that's the best part about that whole movie is after Wash dies, and then you have I can't think of all the characters.
Well, all of them get wounded, so at that point you assume
everyone's going to die.
The show's been canceled. I mean, the show's gone. The show's never coming back, and now we know he's willing to kill characters. I think they're all just going to die, and that was what made that fight scene good. But if Game of Thrones doesn't have the cojones anymore to do that...
Well, that's because TV people are writing it instead of Martin.
Exactly.
But he's at least overseeing it.
The TV people should be aware of the fact that that is what people look for in
correct.
The show.
But like I said, from what I can tell, the balance has flipped.
Yes. Well,
because they're both still
involved. They're not using his source material anymore.
Which means he has less power.
Yeah, that's also why Tyrion is a drooling moron now.
Yeah.
Because the TV writers can't write a clever person as well as Martin could.
Sure.
It's fine. The TV writers can write, though.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Just have John take an arrow to the head out of nowhere. Not even, you know, whoever. Just out of nowhere. Just
senselessly.
Kill some people.
Yeah.
They're in a battle. You know, people who died in the trenches of World War I, they didn't each do a dramatic slow motion save of somebody else the moment before they tragically died.
Just have someone fucking off to accidentally friendly fire.
Sure. You got dragons. In a battle, just have somebody get... They're in there. Oh, well. Goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, there's... I mean, basically... I don't care if we spoil the show.
I mean,
but
I'm like keeping it mostly nebulous.
The whole sequence with the library, basically, where suddenly... Because you kind of tell, like, when we ran out of budget and when we had to film something else.
Oh, the library, not the crypts?
The whole library sequence.
Yeah, the Resident Evil sneaking sequence.
That felt to me, and I appreciate the sequence because it was actually really well done, but that felt to me like Winterfell has fallen.
Sure.
And this is like an hour later, and this is just that character trying to survive. Okay. And then they panned out to show the fighting still happening outside. Though at that moment I was accepting that everybody else has just died.
Sure,
and we're just stuck with that remaining person.
Oh well, it's Gesundheit. Your recommendation?
Yep.
One, eating a burrito the size of your forearm may have been a bad choice.
Never.
Yeah. Well, you need to eat burritos as big as your head.
Yes, La Bamba.
Yeah,
oh, that's what I did.
El Famous Burrito. For those who have El Famous Burrito in their area.
You had a La Bamba?
Yeah, it was a La Bamba Super Burrito.
Yeah, it was an Obama Super Burrito.
Like I said, how else do you describe it? It is a burrito the size of my forearm.
Yeah.
And probably the weight.
It's more like your thigh. Like, these things are gigantic.
Yeah. It was a wonderful way of celebrating the overthrow of French rule. But, so, recommendations. Mini recommendations. One, if you're a fan of a show, understand the difference between Mary Sue and plot development.
Yes.
So,
which I cannot explain anymore because the embargo on that one is still in effect.
Correct.
So, actual recommendation: go check out the band Ghost.
Sure. So if I'm understanding the terminology of a Mary Sue, is you basically give somebody, like, they just have ultimate power.
It isn't actually ultimate power. It's just so the important part.
I think I know the context.
You, Andy Welton,
yeah.
You write a comic book.
Yeah.
And you have your main character,
Beard
Bandy
Man.
Felton,
the Beard sure. Man.
The Bearded Avenger, yep. Who is the strongest, he's the smartest, he's the bestest, everyone loves him, he's always the greatest at everything.
And all of this is from the beginning with no development required.
Yes. Okay. He's just always been the best and everybody loves him. Isn't he cool, guys? You should check out my character.
Superb Man.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a Mary Sue.
Really?
Yes.
It is the author insert that is flawless and perfect because the author is obviously pathetic and cannot write, and they need this as an escape for themselves. And so the Mary Sue is just...
They're comparing it to a character that we've seen develop for...
Because yes. People think that any character that becomes strong, therefore...
Especially if they are female.
Especially if they're female. And Mary Sue, despite the name, is a gender-neutral thing. Sure. A man can be a Mary Sue. But yes, people think that once... If they don't like a character who does something and they don't like the power level of this character, they'll just sure. go, yeah, it's a Mary Sue. And that is, as Dan recommended, you learn the fucking term. A Mary Sue is a character that was always flawless and perfect and amazing.
Like, so basically, like the Night King is a...
So I will say a better example from current media okay. that I still don't think it is, but I'm willing to go with it to some extent, is Rey from the new Star Wars films.
Okay.
So from the start, she's super good at hand-to-hand combat.
Yep.
She's super good at piloting.
Sure.
She's super good at the Force.
Oh, I would say Luke is even more so a full-on.
Mary Sue, Luke has to like kind of
a little bit, but I mean both.
Bit, but yes,
but Luke and Rey are both on the continuum.
Yes, okay. They're on the continuum.
They're on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's the thing. Like when your main character is great at everything,
sure.
The okay. first time they try it. You have an issue there. Like, because Luke, at least you see him training and he sucks at the Force. He's getting shot by the little sure, thing. And he's like, sure. I can't. Wah, touchies. Rey, the first time she's using the Force, she's mind controlling people. The first time she has a lightsaber, she beats a trained Sith Lord. Now, in his defense, slash, I always bring this up, he was gut shot by a fucking bazooka. So come on, people. But still. And that's why there's an argument there. I don't think she's necessarily a Mary Sue, but to be fair, great at hand-to-hand combat, great at piloting,
correct,
great sure. at the Force, super awesome at everything ever, correct. Isn't she the best? And
she has some flaws, which right. is the redeeming quality.
But Luke became the best at everything over the course of 3 films, which is why he is completely inarguably not a Mary Sue.
Okay.
Nor is character X.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
Just because you train yourself to switch hands with a weapon doesn't make you a Mary Sue.
Or if, yeah.
I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am not left-handed.
Yes. Hard to say while someone's choke-holding you, but yes. Anyway, good recommendations. Ghost was the other one? Yeah.
Yep.
Damn it.
Problem, Andy?
Damn it.
What? What are you damning?
Just change it to 276 right away.
What's happening here? Is he changing...
The whole entire episode I had labeled as 274.
Yeah, I know. At the very beginning, you told them to ignore that.
I did. Oh, I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're all good.
Now it's 276.
All right.
Okay, good. So we're ready for next week.
It is 8 p.m. It is time to get off here because we have a live chat in the internet.
Bye.
Bye.
See you guys later.